Let's continue now with wildlife biologist Brian Roll from the DNR office in Marquette. Thanks for more of your time.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
So you and I are both members, as well as a lot of hunters and DNR personnel, of the UP Trail Cams page on Creeper Book there. And it's fun. It's fun to watch. I mean, I really enjoy that page. But, man, there was a picture posted of a white-tailed deer that had a collar on it. And the reactions were pretty viral, I should say. I mean, people were freaking out that this collar was really tight on this doe's neck. And I want to get your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, really, the collar was riding perfectly when I looked at it. It's part of our movement study that we've been doing, looking at where deer are moving, particularly across the border of Wisconsin in relation to concerns about chronic wasting disease. So collar technology has really come a long ways in the last 5 to 8 years. And that collar, although it looks snug on that buck's neck, it actually has folded material with magnets in it, so it kind of acts like an accordion. As the deer's neck swells, it'll open up, and then as the deer's neck goes back down, come, you know, late December, that collar will actually shrink back down. And so it stays on there. And so you really don't want a loose-fitting collar on wildlife. It's dangerous for them, particularly deer. They can hook a leg in it in their attempts to take it off. But also, if it slides up and down the neck every time their deer puts its head down to feed, it'll break the hair and actually eventually start removing hair from the neck, and we certainly don't want to see that. So although the collar looks like it's snug on the deer when you just look at that buck's picture, it really is riding and sitting perfectly with no hair damage on the neck whatsoever. So that's exactly what we want to see. And it really wasn't until the invention of these collars that we could actually look at the migration of particularly bucks because of that seasonal change in their neck size. And that deer may have been actually a fawn, because we can put those collars on when they're younger and they will expand as the deer grows. So it really kind of shows that the collars are working.
I appreciate the clarification on that, man. People were just flying off the handle about, get this collar off this deer, it's torture, blah, blah, blah. And I just was floored at how many people were quickly jumping to conclusions. But that's Creeper Book.
Yeah, that is. I mean, and actually that collar can expand even much larger than it is. The magnets in there are rare earth magnets, and they're super strong. So it really can expand, and it just contract right back there. It's a really unique design. It was a pain in the butt to put the magnets in all the little pockets, so we had to do that ourselves.
Okay, all right. We're talking with DNR wildlife biologist Brian Roll, and I just want to get your take at the moment, sort of a snapshot anecdotal take from you on how you think our deer herd is looking and how you think bow season's going, shaping up for rifle season.
Well, unfortunately, as you know, as I've stated the last few times, we're not checking deer right now, so I don't have real good data. You know, it's basically what I can find and what I see out in the woods, and what I, when I do get the opportunity to talk to a fellow hunter. It does look like folks are really enjoying that ability to take an antlerless deer again. I see numbers of folks that are utilizing that opportunity with archer equipment. And I've seen a lot of nice bucks harvested, and folks are reporting seeing decent deer numbers. You know, we were a little concerned with the amount of snow we had there, but that snow came late. So I'm still optimistic that we're going to have a fairly similar season that we saw in the previous year. I don't really anticipate any big changes.
Well, you mentioned that folks are enjoying taking does with archery equipment again this year in most of the UP, the Western UP being the exception. And I'm considering doing the same thing. And if somebody is going to consider taking a doe in Marquette County, let's just use an example, is there any value to the idea, other than taste, of taking a year-and-a-half-old doe versus an old 4-year-old breeding doe that's, you know, 150, 160 pounds?
There certainly is. The survival rate of those adult does are much higher. And I've often heard folks say that old phrase, well, I took her because she was a dry doe, she's too old. And that really, there is no such thing as a dry doe. Those deer will have fawns until the day they tip over. We have records of deer 19 plus years old having fawns. So, you know, they may have lost their fawns, that's fine, but the following year they're going to be pregnant and they're going to have fawns again. So if you are going to take a doe, that would probably be the one to let go. You know, those older does, they're the ones with the most knowledge, they're going to have the best survivability for that upcoming winter, and they're your producers.
I appreciate the clarification on that. Brian Rohl, wildlife biologist for the DNR out of the Marquette office. Thank you so much for your time today.
Anytime, Adam.
And this is The Outdoor Show.